The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, April 28, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Farm Bill conferees say they are close to finalizing a bill ahead of talks later this week. Also, corn industry officials say Texas's call for a waiver of half the renewable fuels standard will create marketplace uncertainty. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and the meteorologists from Chesapeake Energy will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City: May wheat, 870 up 15, July, 871 and three quarters up 20 and a quarter. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat, 826 up 25 and a half, July, 841 up 25 and a half, September, 855 up 25 and a quarter. May corn, $6 up 22 and three quarters, July, 613 and a half up 22 and three quarters, September, 624 up 23 and a half, December, 630 and a quarter, up 23 and one half. May beans, 1283 and a half, down 42 and a quarter. July, 1297 and a half, down 39 and a half. August, 1283, down 34 and a half. September, 1237 and a half, down 31 and a half. November, 1196 and a half, down 25 and a half. April live cattle, 92.40 up 12 and a half. June, 93.75 up 37 and a half. May feeders, 106.72 and a half, down 102 and a half. May lean hogs, 75.75, down 32 and a half. And that's today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a look at outside markets, June crude oil at 118.70 is up 18 cents. July, 117.75 up 22 cents. May ethanol, 253.6. The settlement there, up 2.5 cents. June, 245.5 up 2.5 cents. May natural gas, 11.20 up 23.7. June, 11.33.4 up 23.3. The RBOB for May at 302.79 is up 28.8, and the June at 302 is up 26.7. Gold prices, the June contract at 895.50 is up 5.80. May silver at 17.01 and 3 is up 16.3. The U.S. dollar trading at 72.67.7, down 4.3 cents. Mike Sola tells us that a wetter and cooler than average set of conditions for much of the next week to 10 days will exist across the Corn Belt, keeping planting progress below its five-year averages for the two-state area. Heaviest rainfall is expected across northern Indiana, with up to 3 inches of precipitation expected through the work week. Frost and freezing conditions through midweek may cause burn back, but permanent damage to crops is not expected. A vigorous storm system will bring widespread moderate to heavy rain on Thursday and Friday, and then another storm system is indicated by current computer models to arrive early next week.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel, senior analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I think that if we didn't have this motivation already, we do now with the trade today. Looks like traders are saying put more corn in the ground.
Well, I think it was more of a function that the field of planting progress will not be up to trade expectations this afternoon. Also, too, I think we're seeing the funds re-enter the marketplace. We lost quite a bit of little open interest there last week, as the fear was we were seeing the money move out of the grain market back into the stock market. Friday, we lost open interest in the corn futures by about 26,000 contracts and beans by 24,000 contracts. But, yeah, we saw the exercise of some options, call options, to catch the local short. And we saw the funds come back in today and buy 10,000 corn and 4,000 beans. So, funds probably re-entered. We probably saw some month-end position squaring, so it's going to be important to see the funds continue to buy as we go into the new month here, keep the momentum. But there's a lot of anxiety out there. As everyone well knows, the weather forecast is the upfront most important news item at the moment, with some very cold temperatures here over the next 48 hours and a little warm-up and another round of showers as we go into the weekend. So. A lot of things to watch, a lot of uncertainty, and that's what the market did in the corn price today, is to add volatility and uncertainty back to the price.
And if you look at the deferred contracts, go out to 09, take the July, for example, new contract high at 651, Kurt. What do producers do with that?
Well, as a producer, and a lot of people don't agree, but you got to treat it separate from a producer and a trader. From a producer, you got to have some scale selling approach to the market with the carry of the market. Look to hedge the deferred and capture some of these prices. As a trader, the trend's probably higher here for a while, but as a trader, you got to be prepared to change your position within 20 minutes because the market's fast and furious. So it's two separate issues, and as a producer, I think we continue to scale up here and be a seller as time goes on. December corn futures closed at 630 and a quarter, so if we can get above this 30 level, we ought to take a run to 650, and that would be in the next upside target as a producer to consider some sales of some type of futures, options, or cash.
Turn your attention to the soybeans, which, at least technically, doesn't look very grand at the moment.
Well, it's sloppy. They bought the corn, sold the beans. Beans struggled due to the fundamental news. Argentina strike might not take place. Saw a little back off on the cash side of the equation. But beans taking out $12 wasn't positive. But we think we need to watch this at 1180. 1180 is 50% back down to the early April low. So there's some retracement levels to watch, but you're correct. The longer-term moving averages are down. Fundamentally, beans are going to struggle here if Argentine beans come to the world market. So technically and fundamentally, both beans probably have their work cut out here over the next 30 to 40 days.
If we break the 1180 to 1190 on a settlement basis, what does that imply in your mindset to the downside?
Well, you open the door to retest the early April low. And that was down here at this 1045 level. That would sort of be the next target to look for. We're in week four of the cycle, so we could probably see beans struggle to the other commodities sideways or lower until we go into the mid-late part of May here and get a low recorded by then.
What do you make of the wheat rally today?
A little bit of export business around. We saw talk of Egypt coming into the world wheat market. They're mainly focused on French wheat, but you can't rule out U.S. wheat. Iraq's in for 50,000 wheat. The cold snap out west has sort of been pushed our way, so we're going to start to see the cold weather enter the eastern wheat belt here. So You know, we're seeing some follow through buying on the turnaround here. So the key is how high we can go here before we start running into resistance on wheat.
Today we had new contract highs again in crude oil. The June contract at 119.93, just a hair breadth away of 120. Question I have for you is, what would happen if high energy prices begin to fall, begin to collapse, push down growth, and cause GDP to fall?
Well, we're going to find out how high we need to go to curb the overall consumption. The main concern is that if we see crude move back the other way, would be overall confidence. We've seen the outside markets sort of help support the grain sector. Question is how much of a fall. I mean, we could take crude back to $80 a barrel and still be in an uptrend. So until we start to see some stabilization in the news worldwide and solve some of these supply disruptions, crude's going to stay on edge. And plus, too, with the dollar, the weak dollar in here, we need to probably see a turn in that before we see...
All right, we just went ahead and lost Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We thank him for joining us this afternoon. He takes time out and visits with us every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Let's go ahead and take a quick look again in outside markets for you. June crude oil at 118.70 is up 18 cents. The July at 117.75 is up 22. May ethanol again settled at 253.6, up 2.5. June at 245.5 was up 2.5 cents. Natural gas at 11.20 up 23.7. June 11.31.8 is up 21.7. The silver contract for May settling at 1701 3/10, up 16 3/10. Gold contract for June at 895.50 is up 580. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 12,916, up 24 points. The U.S. dollar at 72.60 9/10 is down 6 1/10. The CRB 419.35 up 155. The S&P Goldman Sachs Commodity Index at 748.13 is up 320. The S&P 500 at 1487 is up 303.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, Farm Bill conferees have a tentative agreement on a number of funding issues, but there are some tough policy issues remaining, including proposed reductions in payment caps and dairy provisions. Friday, conferees left Washington, D.C. with a deal that will cut direct payments about 2% for 4 years and then restore them in year five. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson.
So there'd be some changes in the direct payments, but it would be done in a way where we preserve the baseline, current baseline, after 5 years. Just to preserve the funding within the Agriculture Committee. So, you know, we may or may not continue direct payments at that point, or we may have a WTO deal that makes us change things at that point, but we want to keep the baseline for agriculture.
The deal also includes a $3.8 billion permanent disaster aid program. The lower direct payments and smaller disaster aid program will fund additional nutrition programs, pushing that total from $9.5 billion to $10.4 billion. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin.
We carried a heavy load for nutrition in this bill, and for food stamps and for the groups out there. We carried a heavy load.
The agreement would raise target prices and loan rates for some crops, provide an additional $4 billion for conservation, offer a new sugar to ethanol program, lower the ethanol blenders program from 51 to 45 cents a gallon, and extend the import tariff on ethanol to 2010, but at a lower rate. Congress will also give USDA Secretary disaster authority to prevent farmers from locking in loan deficiency payments during major marketing disasters. And the measure has increased tax credits and loan guarantees for cellulosic ethanol producers. Veteran Farm Bill observers say there is urgency to get a bill done because farm state lawmakers are concerned if it's put off until after the November elections, the measure could face an even tougher presidential climate. That mood is leading some farm state lawmakers toward a deal they might not normally support. Conferees are expected to meet tomorrow. Japan says it will reassess whether the current system for inspections of U.S. beef is sufficient in the wake of the recent discovery of banned spinal columns in a shipment. Japan has already increased the rate of sampling tests on imported U.S. beef from 1 to 10% after a national beef plant in California last week sent banned material to Japan. At least one Japanese lawmaker says there are systematic problems in how the U.S. exports beef. The slow start to corn planting has caught the attention of the chairman of the World Ag Outlook Board. Stuart Doan has more.
Speaking at a CFTC roundtable on agricultural futures markets, Jerry Bangi stressed that USDA's record $4.60 a bushel corn price forecast is based on 90 million planted acres, not the 86 million suggested by farmers in last month's prospective plantings report.
One can only imagine what the price would be if we were looking at an acreage of 86. So that remains to be seen. Again, the question there will be whether or not weather will cooperate. So far, weather has not cooperated. It has been too wet in the Midwest.
More rain fell on Iowa Thursday night and Friday morning, which will keep planters out of the fields for a few more days. A week ago, corn planting had not even begun in Iowa, Indiana, and Ohio, while Illinois farmers had only planted 1% of their crop. USDA will release updated acreage estimates on June 30th. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
The National Corn Growers Association is reacting negatively to the governor of Texas asking federal officials to waive half the renewable fuel standard made from grain. Texas Governor Rick Perry says such a waiver is the, quote, best, quickest way to ease rising food costs. NCGA President Ron Litterer says a waiver of the RFS would create uncertainty in the marketplace.
Filing it now right ahead of planting sends the wrong signal. The markets are saying we need to plant corn, and I think farmers are prepared to do that when the weather cooperates here, and it will. So I think it sends a message to farmers that there's some uncertainty as far as what the future might bring. So I think that's unfortunate because we do need to have a good corn crop this year.
Perry says the U.S. mandate for oil refiners to blend ethanol with gasoline could push corn prices to $8 a bushel for the 2008 crop year. Perry says that could cost the Texas economy more than $3.5 billion this crop year. But Litterer says Perry is ignoring a study that he himself requested from Texas A&M that indicated relaxing the RFS does not significantly lower corn prices. And Litterer says another study from Iowa State University shows ethanol has had positive impact at the gas pump.
There was another study that came out on gas prices, and actually if we didn't have ethanol in the gas market, we'd see 29 to 40 cents per gallon higher gas costs to consumers. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are driving grain prices today. Demand for corn for energy is one of those, but there's a number of other factors. The speculators in the commodities markets and the demand for grain in the export markets that are driving it as well.
Texas is the first state in the nation to seek a RFS waiver from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which says it is reviewing the request. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What kind of planting progress do you think that Illinois producers made over the weekend?
Well, I think Illinois probably was one of the better states out of all the states here in the Midwest. I think we'll probably see that number up in the low 20s for the state of Illinois, which doesn't sound very good, and it's not compared to the last few years, but compared to what the numbers at Iowa, Minnesota, and some of the other western states are going to come in at, I think that's going to be pretty good. I think we're looking at 10% type numbers in Iowa and Minnesota and probably Missouri. So Illinois at 20 to 25%, I think that's about as good as we can hope for.
So that pushes the national average at 3 o'clock to what?
Let's see, we doubled it last week from 2 to 4, so let's see, if we double it again, that's 8. hopefully we can get it up close to 16%. I mean, it's not good by any stretch of the imagination, but we just got to get a break in the weather, and they're talking more rain Friday and Saturday, and then another front, I think I heard, first part of next week. So we just need to miss one of those and have the temperatures warm up, otherwise it's going to be a struggle to get the corn in the ground.
Are producers in this neck of the woods talking about the potential of putting more corn acres in the ground than they thought they might have otherwise?
Yes. When the acreage report came out on March 31st, you have to remember that was a survey based on March 1, and on March 1, December corn was $5. Now it's over $6. So I think we can afford to plant corn and pay the higher input costs, assuming the weather cooperates. It may get to a point here where it doesn't matter how high corn is. If it gets to May 15th or May 20th and the corn's not in the ground, it really doesn't matter how high the price of corn is. People just can't get corn in the ground if the weather doesn't cooperate.
All right, then. Let's begin to look at the basis where it looks like over the last couple of weeks, soybean has had a nice little run here, but now futures are down sharply today.
Yeah, the basis is still strong on soybeans, even though the board is down. It seems like we trade the Argentine strike each and every day. One day the strike looks imminent and the truckers are going to be behind it and the market's higher, and then they fire the ag minister and they're more conciliatory, and now the market's down. So that's going back and forth, but the one thing that is getting better is the soybean basis. It was weak for so long that the farmers that had to move beans at the weaker basis did, and the ones that held on to them are still holding on, and now they're in the driver's seat, and with farmers hopefully getting in the field soon, movement's going to slow down. So all that contributes to a much stronger bean basis.
And what about corn basis?
Corn basis has been weak. The futures have been doing most of the work. We're starting to see a little bit of an improvement here as farmers get out in the field, but we're starting from some extremely low levels. So even if we improve 4 or 5 cents, we're still below where we've normally been. But I would think we could see a 4 or 5 cent basis improvement here over the next week or so.
And what about 30 days?
30 days should be better, assuming we get the farmers in the field and, too busy to haul corn. Corn and bean basis should be probably, I would say, in the neighborhood of 10 cents better, and soybean basis probably another 10 to 15 cents better as well.
Your prices today?
Cash corn finishes the day at 582, new crop 590, cash beans 1263, new crop 1111, and new crop wheat 701.
Thank you much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580, your agricultural information advantage. It's National Blueberry Pie Day. Historians believe that pies can be traced back to the ancient Egyptians. Bakers to the pharaohs incorporated nuts, honey, and fruits in a bread dough, a primitive form of pastry. Drawings of this can be found etched on the tomb walls of Ramses II in the Valley of the Kings. When it comes to pie pastries, credit generally goes to Greece, where pies were made by wrapping a water flour paste around meat. In 1620, the pilgrims brought their favorite pie recipes to the New World. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Franz Karl Eckhard was born. A German chemist, Eckhard invented a process for the large-scale extraction of table sugar from beets. In 1801, he opened the first sugar beet factory in what is today Poland. After further research, he refined his process by using a suggestion from the Institute in France, indicating that fuel costs could be lowered by pressing the beets without cooking. In 1789, the most famous mutiny in history took place on the English ship Bounty against Captain William Bligh. The ship was sailing to Tahiti on an agricultural mission to bring back breadfruit trees. The hope was that the breadfruit plants would grow well in the West Indies and thus become a cheap source of food for slaves. The mutiny came with more than 1,000 breadfruit plants aboard. Those plants never made it to the West Indies. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Cold temperatures heading our way. What does that imply for the crops?
Well, we will be very cool to start out this week and have some kind of light rain shower activity, even some snow showers across the region over the next couple of days. We will be getting a warm-up later on this week, but that's going to come in advance of the next rain system, which will begin late Thursday and Friday and continue on into the weekend. So certainly not a huge space of time that's going to be there for open field work operations as we do go through this week.
So you expect that the cold snap will slow down, dry down?
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that during these next couple of days, especially during the daylight hours, you're going to have quite a bit of cloud cover because we are so cold aloft. And so you're not going to have the greatest drying conditions, and that along with the cool temperatures the first half of this week will not be very good for fieldwork operations.
The longer that the Midwest remains wet, is it true that the more difficult it will become to dry out because moisture then eventually feeds back into the atmosphere?
I think there is some cases for that, but a lot of it comes down to specific timing and intervals of rain systems coming through. And let's face it, the big problem right now is in Iowa, where things are, you know, far different there than, let's say, across Illinois and Indiana, where conditions are quite a bit better. Iowa's going to have a very difficult time here with the big rains they got late last week, and they're the biased area for the next couple of rain systems coming through. They're also the coolest area basis normal over the next week or two. They're going to have a very tough time over the next couple of weeks with any kind of significant corn planting progress. And, of course, now we're talking about early May, and they're not going to get that much done here in the short term.
Does this cold snap where we live here in Champaign, Illinois, imply that the jet stream could push farther south and more rainfall may fall into the delta?
Well, no, it really looks like the biased area for rainfall, the way that the jet is positioned right now, is going to be more so across the northwestern Corn Belt, Minnesota, Iowa, the eastern Dakotas, Nebraska, rather than the eastern Midwest, such as Illinois or Indiana, or down into the Delta. So it really does look like that the biased area, the more concentrated rainfall, is northwestern Midwest, and then the more you go south and east of that area, the eastern Midwest and the Delta, the more the activity becomes scattered and lighter.
What can you tell us about weather conditions beyond 10 to 14 days?
Well, there's really no sign right now of any kind of a major change in the overall pattern. You know, you have your wettest and coolest conditions, you know, based in the northwestern Midwest and the northern plains, and that's where the biggest issues are going to be from a standpoint of fieldwork operations and also germination and early growth rates of the crops that are able to be planted.
Thanks, John.
My pleasure, David.
That's John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.